Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no picking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Nick Caserio last week in his pre-draft press conference, he was feeling it a little bit, man. He was not ready to take any flowers from anybody on how the offseason has gone so far. You know, people were trying, man. Like, here are your flowers, Nick. Like, you signed a lot of big names. Hey, Stefon Diggs might be a diva. Those aren't necessarily flowers, but, you know, just looking for answers.
Right.
Here's a compilation of press conference pre-draft Nick Caserio from late last week.
You know, I'm sure we'll get some questions here about the offseason and some of the things that we've done. I mean, frankly, it's kind of laughable. I mean, it's so early. I mean, we haven't done anything. Yeah, I think anything that's said outside the building is just noise. Draft grades, right? I mean, it's the most ridiculous concept that I've ever heard of. We can talk about all we want about what's going on, what the expectation is. Quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. We're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us, and that's okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't really know what that means. I mean, what, Devin Singletary, was that not like a big enough name last year, I guess? Yeah, number one, I don't even know what that definition means. So if someone can define that for me, excited to have Steph here. And, you know, when he gets here, I mean, certainly he's, you know, he'll be available, you know, maybe ample time for you all to visit with him. So, like, we're not, you know, sign a free agent, you know, bring a jersey up here and, like, do a big powwow. Like, that's not how we operate. Like, we don't believe in that.
Is there another way that we're supposed to do it?
No, I'm asking.
We're not trying to be difficult. I know that's what everybody thinks. I'm sure you guys can have some fun with that next week. So, all right,
thanks.
Next week is this week, and we're having some fun with it with Nick Caserio. Seth, I'm looking right now. I just Googled report cards, 2023 NFL draft, and I put April 2023 so that they're from, you know, right after the draft. All the ones that Nick said, and I don't disagree with him. Like, yeah, like doing a report card as if it's some sort of gospel as to how these guys are going to play out. Like, I don't know that people necessarily read them that way. I think it's more of a report card. Like, okay, did their draft make sense? You know, did they attack needs? Did they do those things? I just pulled up three of them here. The AP, Texans, A+.
Ooh, yeah.
Yahoo, Texans, A-.
Yeah.
The Athletic, Texans, A.
Yeah.
And it appeared to have played out that way. They got those right.
They got them right. Well, they. We'll see. Give it 3 years. You got to give it 3 years. This is always there's so many negative draft grades that end up being awesome 3 years later. There's so many ones that either look awesome on draft night that end up being horrible drafts. So I'm only surprised that Caserio got so agitated about it in this press conference, because it's something that he's always known as stupid and ridiculous about. The silly season is what he called it last year. I just do wonder if maybe there was one point in the press conference, Sean, where he alluded to the fact that they'd had their top 30 visits with some people they wanted to meet with got them in the building, and then some that they visited with that weren't even in the building. I think that was a joke about, like, there must have been some bad reporting on guys who visited there who didn't actually. That's a kind of news report that actually does affect the GM's job and can become a pain in the butt. Because if the NFL sees that and they're like, wait a second, you told us that this was your top 30. Did you have more than you were supposed to? And then all of a sudden you got to answer to, like, this false report of somebody visiting your organization, even though like that would have been a violation. Mm-hmm. So, like, that part of it, I wonder. He didn't look particularly agitated when he brought that up, but I wonder if that was one of the things that put him over the edge into just being publicly so dismissive of all the nonsense.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Because his opening statement, which was like 6 minutes long,
yeah,
had like three of the, like, your montage you put together there, I'm assuming had like eight different cuts in it, right? It was
there
a combination.
There were quite a few, and at least a couple of them came from that opening montage.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say.
Because that's where he said it was just like silly or stupid or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
Like all of the attention they've been getting when, frankly, they haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
Because, other than sign a few people.
I think he chose violence, man. I don't think anything triggered him. I think he showed up ready to
fight.
Right.
No, I'm saying that scenario is what had him in that mood. Yeah, like that scenario.
The reporting from before. I got
you. He had mentioned that top 30 about the people who were supposedly in the building who weren't even in the building. That was one of the things he brought up in that opening part as
well. Got you. Yeah, it was. I was misinterpreting. There was a question somebody was asking about that set him off. So.
Oh, yeah, no. He just brought that up on his own.
Yeah. No, he came in ready to go.
He did. He gave some good information. One of them was Chris Ballard does this too. I watched him this weekend. Chris Ballard will give you a few little nuggets that are interesting. But I was glad that he pointed this out, that the top 30 visits, it's a misnomer in that it's not like those are your top 30 dudes. I think sometimes people see that a player visited a team on a top 30 visit, and they think that means that team shows a favoritism to that player.
Every pundit has him as a fifth rounder. What's going on?
Right, yeah. And Nick just flat out said that, no, sometimes you're bringing him in to get one last look, and as he's on the way out, you're like, yeah, definitely not this guy.
Yeah,
it's... You might want to be sure that you didn't like this guy. Which I'd love. I would love it. I would love to know those ones. I would love to be able to watch from afar if I knew that a guy was in specifically because they didn't like him, but they wanted to be sure that he was a turd. Like, what does this guy do to confirm that on his visit?
Well,
it must be amazing.
What does the conversation look like afterwards? You know what I mean? Like, between Nick and D'Amico. Like, they go back to one of their offices and they're like, oh, jeez.
That's even worse than I thought.
It's really bad. Yeah.
That is, you know what? That's one thing I was thinking about. I had a long drive, and I was thinking about all this random draft stuff that, you know, rethinking where sometimes sometimes I'm critical of the pre-draft interviews because, like, in any job search, like, people value their own ability to interview way more than typically they should, and like they make a lot of assumptions about the value of an interview and everything. I will say in the NFL there are a lot of instances in which there's prospects that are just bad dudes, or there are just giant red flags that might not come up until you're talking to them and you realize, like, oh, this guy just cannot disguise it, you know, like this guy just can't even hide what a turd he is.
Yeah.
Like his priorities are all out of whack. So I think there is value in that.
Texter points this out, weirdly saying, quote, they don't believe in the intro presser versus doing it with Daniil Hunter a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Was weird, LOL. We acknowledged that earlier in the show. Yeah, that was strange. We joked that Nick, if there was a follow-up to that with someone bringing up Daniil Hunter, Nick's correct answer would have been, yeah, starting now, we don't do the Big Dog and Pony show. here's Nick Caserio on Texans All Access last week with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. For this Thursday, sitting back, watching the first round, what's that going to be like?
I mean, we'll still kind of go through our process. So there's probably 15 or 20 players that you know are going to go. And then if you get to a point, you know, if there's an opportunity that you feel makes sense that you want to get back into the first round, then we'd have to weigh the cost benefits of potentially doing that. But I think it goes back to just knowing as many players as possible, kind of a range of, you know, where you think they may fall. And it's just relying on the information that you have. And there's a myriad of mocks that are available. Some are probably a little bit more accurate than others. But again, you're really just kind of adjusting and reacting to what's going on and kind of taking inventory. And then you're looking ahead to Friday if we don't pick on Thursday, which right now we're not scheduled to. But by the same token, if you get to a point where you feel like there's a player maybe that's standing out and you think that it's worth making the move, then if we were to do that, what's the cost associated with that? So we're in a decent position. You know, if we don't do anything, we're hopeful that we'll get, you know, two or three quality players on Friday. If we do have an opportunity on Thursday that makes sense, it'd be something for us to consider and discuss and ultimately just try to make the right decision at the present time.
I would bet there's a 90% chance that they're going to stay in round two, that they're not going to move into round one. I think I think part of doing that deal with Minnesota, certainly part of it was getting that extra two so you could go get an impact player, and they accomplished that by trading for Stephon Diggs. I think when you make a move like that, you got to be totally comfortable with what could be there at 42. It's not automatic you can move back into the first round. Teams like having first round picks for a reason. You get that extra fifth year option, and it's a hot spot to the back end of the first round for teams looking to get back in. Nick doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to want to maybe overpay for the right to do that for a fifth year down the road.
Like, that trade made sense by the trade value chart to move back, and yet it doesn't work out that way on draft weekend necessarily. You can't just say, but I've got receipts. Can I just get back up there for the same price that I went?
Right.
Yeah. If there were guys that they were genuinely excited about, and I think there might be, obviously, a couple guys that they'd be interested in if they fall, but I think the guys that they felt best about are probably all projected to be in the top 15, and then after that, they don't feel so strongly about a group of guys. You know, Nick cares about bands and everything. Yes. You move back into the second round, and I think, frankly, like, I think he probably looks at defensive tackles, for instance, as a position that there's going to be a band of those guys in the second round that are all kind of the same, and that you don't, like, without falling in love too deeply with any one of them, you might feel good ending up with any one of three or four of them.
He mentions, you know, the whole thing about 15 to 20 guys. There's 15 to 20 guys. Like, that's what most teams have first round. They don't have first round grades on 32 guys every year. They've got 15 to 20 guys they think are worth a first round pick. My guess is if it's one of those guys that's starting to slip, that's where the conversations start to take place. But if it's anybody outside of those guys they feel has a first-round grade, then that's where you start. Yeah, that's where you start to get into the groups and the bands of players. And I think I could see them moving up from 42 to like 37 to ensure they get a guy. You know, like they did last year with Juice Scruggs, they moved up from 68 to 62 because they, you know, and they gave up a sixth and a seventh-round pick to do that. Tank Dell. They moved up four spots to go get Tank Dell from 73 to 69, and they traded a fifth and a sixth to go do that. He, being Nick, views those day three picks as pocket change, you know, as currency, but it's tip money, you know, and basically for the right to move up four, six, 10 spots, I'm willing to forego the 195th and 213th player in this draft. Because I feel like Tank Dell has a chance to be a really, really good football player. I think Juice Scruggs has a chance to be a really, really good football player. And the fact of the matter is, you can get fifth and sixth round picks back. That's easy. The easier thing to do is get picks like that back than it is to move up 10 spots up to the 29th pick in the draft and move back into the first round. He got a fifth and a sixth back in the Stephon Diggs trade. You know what I mean? Just like as a throw-in with Diggs.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, right. And they're not throw-ins, though. I mean, they make the value work out. Like, that ended up being the trade for Diggs. The way it all calculates out, it works out to like a late second or early third rounder. Yeah. And whenever I say that, people get up in arms because they'll – because, of, you know, them. I mean, the same fan base that last year was hearing from everybody that the Texans were going to have the worst record in the league and the draft pick was going to be so valuable. People are just damn right assured that the Vikings are going to have the worst pick available next year. So,
yeah.
Or the best pick available next year.
Yep. My advice to people going to the draft party on Friday would be have fun, be safe, and keep your head on a swivel when it comes to keeping an eye on the big screen, because in day two, which is the second and third round, Nick Caserio's history says he is going to maneuver to go get guys. He's made 7 day two picks since becoming the GM. 2 in 2021, 2 in 20, or 3 in 2022, and then 2 more last year. The only 2 players of those 7 that he picked with picks that the Texans had going into draft night that night are Davis Mills in 2021, and then Jalen Petrie in 2022. All 5 of the other ones were moves up the board to go get guys. They moved up 20 spots to get Nico Collins in 2021. They gave up a fifth and a fourth. They moved up 24 spots to get John Mechie. They gave up a couple of fourths in 2022. They moved up just 5 spots to go get Christian Harris. They duked a fifth-round pick, I think, to Denver. And then last year, as we pointed out, Juice Scruggs moved up. They moved up 6 spots to get Scruggs. They moved up 4 spots to get Tank Dell, giving a couple of day 3 picks in each of those trades. So they've moved up in the second and third round to get 5 of the 7 guys that they've drafted. And I always say, Seth, when you move up to go get a guy, I know that, as you pointed out, when Nick's moving up to go get somebody that it's usually not just that guy they're going to get. It could be Nico. Yeah. It could be this guy or that guy or another guy. Still, when you're moving up, you are giving up draft capital because you feel your evaluation, at least of that group of players, is accurate enough to forego some draft capital. So when you move up to go get guys, I always feel like those are the ones that probably need to work out. Like, I feel like 20% stronger, those need to work out than the ones where you just stay put and whoever falls to you falls to you. Because you're making a move to go get somebody. The five guys they've moved up to go get, I would say they've done a pretty good job with that in rounds two and three. Nico Collins looks like a Pro Bowler. John Metchie is probably the one that has the most question marks. Christian Harris is an ascending linebacker. Juice Scruggs, I think, did some decent things his rookie year. We'll see how he does if he's the full-time center. And Tank Dell was an incredible pick at pick 69 if he can stay healthy. So I would say they've done, you know, that strategy in day two has paid off pretty well for them in these three drafts.
Yeah, I think so, on day two.
Yeah.
You know, did you do the day three stuff? The Garrett Wallows and the
just day two. Yeah, just day two.
Which might end up being the sweet spot. Not that I'm going to, you know, I don't get overly concerned about it. It just turns into more and more of a crapshoot when you get into the fourth round and later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that we discussed that last week. The third round picks used to be kind of a sore spot for the Texans. There were a lot of wasted third round picks on guys that had upside but had some kind of an issue or what have you. I think whereas previously there were times where it seemed like the Texans would take guys in the third round who were physically gifted, but their one flaw was that you're not sure if they actually enjoyed football or not.
Yes.
Whereas with Nick, okay, whatever the flaw is, it certainly isn't that these guys don't like football. That, you know, like, there's reasons they're going in the third round. Maybe it's not ideal size. Maybe it's a injury history, whatever it might be. But you get the sense that all these guys are very much football junkies.
Oh,
at least.
Yeah.
And that goes a long, long way in overcoming a lot of the other physical stuff.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you as we roll on here on a Monday. Good to have you with us. I would say, if I'm a brand new head coach in the NFL, if I'm a first-time head coach, especially the youngest head coach in the NFL, I don't know that I would necessarily channel things that Bill O'Brien was doing here in Houston when he arrived in Houston. This particular head coach, I wait to hear what he's doing and what team he's doing it with. You'll hear about it coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right. What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Seattle hired Mike McDonald to be their new head coach. He's the youngest head coach in the NFL. He's 36 years old. He was the defensive coordinator in Baltimore last season. Prior to that, he was the defensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. So he's worked for both Harbaughs. So as he, you know, as a young coach, kind of tailors his style a little bit, you know, like coaches do. Maybe he's taking a little bit from John Harbaugh from last year, taking a little bit from Jim Harbaugh, maybe taking some from other coaches he's come across. You know, he's a young coach, but he's worked for a handful of guys, I'm sure. I don't know that he's ever crossed paths with Bill O'Brien, but he's doing something in Seattle right now that Bill O'Brien did when he arrived here in Houston back in 2014. And that was basically erasing any memories off the wall of previous eras of Texans football.
Right, right. That's right. He took down all the photos, anything of anybody doing anything. That was all. It was all over. He also got rid of the Segways, remember? He got rid of the
Arians.
Remember, the players had their own individual Segways that they would ride to practice. He got rid of those and the golf carts. There used to be golf carts that would take guys to practice. He didn't want any of this softness creeping into his organization, so he got rid of everything.
Those Segways were a gift from Arian Foster to the offensive lineman for Christmas one year.
Originally, those poor Segways.
Yeah.
They weren't rated for that. Nobody, none of those poor Segways signed up for 340 pounds of mirth.
So that was O'Brien did that. Like, he took all the memories of Texans football. He basically gave the Houston Texans a lobotomy, right?
Which like, when it's the Texans, like, look, there's an argument to be had for that. Yeah, it had been a perennially almost set your watch by a disappointing franchise, except for a couple of good years. But he wanted to erase the past.
Yeah,
but people. I think a lot of people defended Bill O'Brien for it because, like, what legacy are you defending?
Well, especially coming off a 2-14 season, then sure, I suppose. I think it's debatable. Like, I don't think there's anything good about ripping Andre Johnson off the wall in the building. But, you know, like, there's certain things. I get it. If you're going to do one, you do all, I suppose. Mike McDonald doing it in Seattle, to me, is a little silly. And this is a report from the Seattle Times that new Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald has removed photos of past Seattle teams, including Pete Carroll holding the Super Bowl trophy, Marshawn Lynch's legendary run, that was in 2010, the Beastquake, against the Saints in a playoff game where they measured the Richter scale in the stadium there, was off the charts, etc. He's removed anything having to do with the Legion of Boom and those runs off the wall, Seth. Removed them all, and it is a new era of Seattle football.
Is it possible that it's simply just a redecorating of the place and these pictures are going to emerge? The thing that I thought of immediately was, remember when Jim Crane got rid of the Wives charity? And people flipped the hell out because he was just destroying the history of the Astros. And the Astros explanation was, remember at the time, these guys are all like 20 years old. None of them have wives. There are no wives to run a charity. There are like three wives on the team, and they were all journeyman types of players.
Young guys dating somebody for like 3 weeks. They're like, so how's that relationship going? We broke up. She didn't want to help organize the gala.
She freaked out when I asked her to join the wives charity. It was almost like getting a girl's name or like getting a girl's tattoo. A girl's name's tattoo on you when you've only dated her a few times.
Okay, here's an article from Yahoo about this whole Seattle thing, that Mike McDonald has removed iconic murals from the team facility. Yeah. Images of some of the greatest moments in Seahawks history, including the Beastquake, Richard Sherman's tip, which is that's all they say is Richard Sherman's tip. I think they're meaning a deflected ball in the 2014 NFC title game. Russell Wilson being emotional after the win over the Packers in the NFC title game. Cam Chancellor forcing a fumble of Calvin Johnson Jr. Cam Chancellor tweeted about this yesterday. The hoisting of the Lombardi Trophy. The article goes on to say, why are these iconic moments gone? Why are the walls at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center left bare? Why are all the remnants of the Pete Carroll era seemingly erased? Two words, new legacy.
That's right. Yeah,
McDonald is sending a clear message to his new team. He wants them to forge a new way forward, create new moments and memories, something to define this era. In the words of Star Wars villain Kylo Ren, quote, let the past die, end quote.
Yeah, this is where, to me, it's a little bit of a reminder just to appreciate what you have in D'Amico Ryans, just because. Not that this is the most important thing in the world, but it is unique. Most NFL head coaches don't give a damn about the organization, their history. Like, they are mercenaries, and they're going to go where they have an opportunity to do something, and then they're just going to kind of sometimes trample all over stuff that other people care about. John Schneider, the GM, pointed out on the radio that those pictures are all in the building elsewhere. It's just that where the players congregate, they want to be sure that they're looking forward and not back.
Okay.
Now, I think there's a, like, this is the height of, like, Landry would use the word hardo, I think, like hardo football coach stuff of coming in and like, no, it's going to be new. Like, all right, dude. Yeah, I get that. But like it wasn't, they did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were one of the best teams. They were one of the best defenses ever. Is it any coincidence that you're a defensive minded head coach? I don't know. Can you not coexist with the great Seattle teams of the past? Let go of it, Mike McDonald. Just you put your head down and you focus on what's ahead instead of trying to be an interior decorator.
Yeah. That to me, you know, look, by any measurement, the Seahawks are one of the, you know, five or six best teams of the past decade, probably. I know they haven't made a deep playoff run in a long time, but man, when Russell Wilson was there, they were winning double-digit games and winning the division on the regular, making the playoffs. And even once Russell Wilson left, they made the playoffs and borderline made the playoffs last year. Like like they continued to maintain a level, like almost like the, you know, not the same type of culture, but almost like the Ravens of the NFC, sort of, where, you know, they had an ethos, they had a vibe to them. You know, they had a head coach that was there throughout, you know, in Pete Carroll. And to me, like, I don't know, man, if I'm one of those teams and I've got a recent history like that with recognizable players on the wall, this isn't walking through Notre Dame and you're seeing a bunch of black and white pictures of guys winning the Heisman in 1952. This is very recent, guys that are very recognizable. A lot of them are on TV now and things like that. That to me would be a reminder of what the bar is around here. You know, like that's like
right. You know, yeah, like, that this is the expectation. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes that can work the opposite way. I suppose like you could look at the Cowboys and say maybe Jerry Jones himself should stop reminding himself of all the things that happened in the past, because I think sometimes it feels like Jerry Jones thinks that they're gonna coast their way to a few championships the way he did when he first took over, that, you know, maybe he needs to hit the reset a little bit harder. You think he's aware that they haven't been to a championship game since the late 90s?
I'm sure he's told multiple times a week. I don't know. It seems at some point.
Yeah, like Steven every now and then. Yeah. I was like, hey, Dad, by the way, you know, you realize we haven't actually really haven't done much, you know, right?
And oh, by the way, you said we're all in and you haven't done anything this offseason.
Right.
You said like a month ago we're all in, and all we've done is like sign a long snapper.
You know what's funny is I was looking at the Colts, just kind of reassessing the Colts offseason, everything ahead of the draft here, and the Colts haven't done much either other than retain their own. They didn't sign a starter in free agency for a team that didn't make the playoffs, and I guess it just goes to show for them, it's all about the quarterback, because they haven't received a lot of criticism for not being very active in free agency. Yeah. I'm sure locally people are agitated about it. But they really haven't done much at all in free agency. And yet, it's, you know, business as usual, the media talking about how smart Chris Ballard is, which he is, and all of his other stuff. And a lot of it just hinges on whether Anthony Richardson comes back or not. And it's just funny because the Cowboys were a much better regular season team than the Colts were. And, like, you could argue, like, in my mind, I think that Mike Zimmer might be the best signing they made. I mean, take that defense and actually turn them into something that can perform in the fourth quarter or in the playoffs, then they might actually have something there.
You and I went through the exercise last week of, okay, what if Tyler Goodson had caught that football on fourth and one? How would, in the Colts game, you know, and they go on to score a touchdown in that game and they win the game, like, how would we be perceiving the Texans if they were a 9-8 non-playoff team instead of being a 10-7 team that won a playoff game? There's a flip side to that, and it's the Colts. Like, what if he does catch that, they score a touchdown, and the Colts go 10-7, and they go to the playoffs, you know, and then they end up winning the division because the Jags lose in week 18 to the Titans. Then all those things would have happened. They would have hosted the Cleveland Browns in a playoff game instead of the Texans.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think that way because the Colts were that close to it. You know, like the Colts were that close to potentially being the Texans, essentially.
I think except just with all the question marks about the quarterback.
Yeah, well, I think we got there with Gardner Minshew as our quarterback. Boy, if Anthony Richardson has taken this year off to learn a few things, most importantly, learn how to take a hit or when to take a hit, and he's what we think he is. Because I don't mind their offseason. The Colts offseason always looks a little underwhelming compared to the other ones in the division because they didn't go out and shop for new guys, as you pointed out. They retained a lot of their own, but they were good players, you know? You know, they re-signed Michael Pittman, and they re-signed a couple of guys in their secondary, Kenny Moore.
Blackman.
and Grover Stewart on the defensive line. They extended DeForest Buckner. So on what was already a competitive roster that just had a below average quarterback ultimately.
Yeah, and it really is for them. Anthony Richardson, the biggest question is, all right, he injured his shoulder in college. He had a separated shoulder, the same thing he had now, maybe a different AC sprain, whatever. But he missed the rest of the season in high school when he had that in 2019. And then I inaccurately last week said that he had three shoulder injuries now with this latest one. He had a stinger in college, okay, which is not a shoulder injury. I kind of lumped it all in together. That's a neck injury technically. But this is his second shoulder injury, but he's just had a flat out, like some pretty notable injuries from high school on through the NFL. His ability to stay healthy, his ability to avoid contact, all of that. In addition to his ability to be more consistent passing the ball, there's still a lot of big question marks about Anthony Richardson. Obviously, he looked awesome versus the Texans in the quarter or so that he was in. But that's going to be the make it or break it part for Chris Ballard and that team.
All right, we're 24 hours out from the Texans dropping the new unis. Do we see any more leaks today from the team? And I'm a little surprised that so many of you are taking up for one of the corniest guys in the NFL. I'm a little disappointed in you, actually. We'll discuss coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We just got the media schedule for this week, and there will be no media availability on Thursday night unless the Texans make a selection.
Oh.
That makes sense, although it'd be fun to pepper Nick and D'Amico with questions about other teams' picks. So what'd you think of that one, huh?
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
Pretty
that
stupid.
Yeah. Well, you remember what happened when the Patriots signed that? The Patriots drafted a guy, an offensive lineman, way higher than anybody had projected or expected.
Cole Strange.
And Sean McVay made a comment about it that I think people understandably thought they were throwing shade at the Patriots, but I think in actuality, I think Sean McVay was kind of poking fun at themselves, well, we were hoping he would get him here, but I guess not, or whatever, and then people just took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
There are some coaches that I wonder, they probably forget that they're on camera a lot, and maybe if you read their lips, they probably have some choice words about how stupid a decision was.
Those cameras are in it. Yeah. Well, I mean, and Bill O'Brien had choice words for one of his own team's picks that one year. Yeah,
That's your pick, Jack. Ended up being one of the better ones.
It was one of the best.
It wasn't confirmation that somehow Jack Easterby had nailed the pick or what have you. It's that they, as an organization, they were trying to maneuver up, and they failed to. So it works out looking extra dumb that O'Brien was pissed off about what was a really good pick,
but
ultimately.
You know that if Easterby's trying to get back in with other NFL teams, that among the things he's putting on his resume is that he spearheaded the pick for Jonathan Grenard. Look at this video right here. Look, read his lips. Bill O'Brien says right there, that's your pick, Jack.
He'll tell you he was just messing with the Zoom, but that right. That was my pick.
That's right. So no media on Thursday unless the Texans pick, and then Nick and D'Amico will meet with the Nick will meet with the media on Friday, and Nick and D'Amico will meet with the media on Saturday. Seth Payne will be on the broadcast on Friday for round two of the NFL draft.
It'll be a good time, yeah. Go to that draft party on Friday night. That'll be more bang for your buck, you know. Probably, yeah, I would guess you're insured of at least two draft picks. Maybe it ends up being three. Maybe it's four or five. But I don't. Even if they trade, I think they're still going to end up with at least two picks in the second and third round.
I'm going to make a prediction, okay? You ready? Okay. I'm going to make a prediction here. My prediction is that the people on Friday will be in attendance for four selections. I think they make two picks in the second round. I don't know if they'll be 42 and 59. They might be like 38 and 54 or something. Like they might do what they did last year, move up just a little bit. They may stay put. You never know. And then I think they make two in the third, I should say. Two in the second, two in the third. I think they're going to move up. I think one of those fourth round picks, they're going to move up into the third round.
So right now they have 2 seconds and one third round pick. You think that they use all their picks plus, well, they use three picks plus they move up from the fourth round.
That's my prediction. Because I think this is a draft where there's a big drop off after like the fourth or fifth round in the talent level. You know what I mean? I think I think because of NIL and guys staying in school and COVID years, as you pointed out earlier, Seth, I think that from everything I've been reading, like this thing could fall off a cliff talent wise in like the fourth or fifth round. So I think there's a better chance they walk away with fewer players they feel really good about than just 10 players. You know what I mean?
I also wonder, though, too, that usually the smart teams value next year's picks more than the average team does. So especially maybe this year, I could see Nick maybe thinking, you know, next year, all these guys who had the extra COVID year, plus all the guys who stayed in because of NIL, there's actually going to be a really strong surge of mid and later round picks, and that maybe he'd rather, like, the Texans, after being so aggressive with some of the starters in free agency, they might. I won't be surprised if Nick ends up trading a lot into next year, you end up with a smaller total haul than
definite distinct possibility. So thus far, what have we seen leak with the uniform so far? We saw the full white top and the blue pant uniform a few weeks ago on a picture taken by some rogue mole that was inside the private reveal.
Yeah,
it was like, that was not a team leak, by the way. There's no way the team would stick one of their models standing in what looks like a vacant warehouse modeling the uniform. What the team ultimately ended up doing to respond to that, Nico Collins and Tank Dell posing all badass in the uniforms, that's what you would do if you're going to leak it. You would do that. So we've seen the white top and the blue pant uniform. We saw the Color Rush helmet last week that looks like it was leaked by some shipping company. You know, there's like 100 boxes with helmets in a room.
It's got that H-Town blue, and it's a different type of Gothic. The font doesn't seem to be as popular as that previous Gothic font that the Texans had some of the apparel.
Yeah. I like that previous one, too. I like this one, but the previous one, I was watching that video last night, that like 15-minute video, like the making of the uniforms kind of thing. And I like that H, the one that's on kind of the hoodies they gave us and stuff like that.
I think it'll grow on people if the team has extreme success.
Yeah. So that was
that's all it takes. Yeah. Just do that. Just go get some extreme success.
Go win. Go win. It's just that easy.
What did people think? What did you get? So one of the ones that leaked was the all red bull theme with like a red helmet
Okay.
That didn't leak. That was a okay.
The team put out. There's a couple things. You're not wrong. The team put out a picture on their Twitter feed of the red helmet, but it was like facing the red helmet. It was almost like you were looking the person in the eyes who's wearing the helmet. So you can't see what's on the side of it. There's just what you were able to see is, oh wow, that's a shiny red face mask, like a red aluminum face mask. Looked pretty cool. So the team voluntarily leak that. There's been a lot of leaks of all four of the varieties of uniform, including a red helmet with the horns on the side of it.
Yeah, but that had a blue face mask. That was the speculation was, okay, maybe one of these leaks that had the red, it had a red helmet with a horn on the side that looks like a swoosh, and it's got a blue face mask, that maybe the team was subtly hinting like, some of these leaks aren't 100% correct.
That could be.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so that came. Okay, so I didn't know that. I didn't know about the blue face mask leak. Because we've seen a lot of artists.
It's hard to keep up with all these leaks. It's hard to keep up with everything. I've noticed there's a lot of conversations going on about various uniform stuff that it's impossible. I'm lost as soon as I get into it because it's hard to keep track of all the different leaks.
So you're anxious.
Or not even leaks, but like I think some people have done artist renditions that might be close. I don't know.
Yeah. So you're anxious for Leakgate to end tomorrow at 10 a.m.
It hasn't bothered me much at all because I'm not invested in it.
Right.
It's kind of like me watching various world conflicts. You know, it's like I watch with passing interest, and yet if it doesn't directly involve me, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll know this time tomorrow, 10 a.m. or, you know, this time plus 8 minutes tomorrow, we're going to know what they look like.
Is this going to be, is this going to be something that, what's your prediction after the unveil? Is it going to be people are like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Or you think the majority of people are going to be blown away by what they see? Like, what's your prediction?
My prediction is that the alternate uniforms are going to be the most popular ones.
Okay.
My prediction is that people who were disappointed in the helmet that leaked last week are going to feel less disappointed once they see it on a uniform as opposed to just solo. But I think what you're asking me is what's the overall reaction going to be? And I think like anything with uniforms, it's going to be mixed. You know, I think there's going to be some people that are diehard Texan fans are going to love it no matter what. I think there's going to be some people that legitimately are like, all right, the team... You know, took into, you know, these look more like modern uniforms. It was time for this. And then there's going to be some people that just don't like them, you know?
I'll tell you one team that's had a lot of success and yet has been like awkwardly bad at a lot of the PR type of stuff and everything is one New England Patriots. Like, they try so hard every year with those slogans. Like, and like the peak was do your job, which is like a notoriously old Bill Parcells slogan that became, you know, part of the aura of the Patriots way and everything. And yet it's kind of like do your job, no days off, like all of these killjoy slogans that actually were not joyful at all, but spoke to people trying to act like they were as hardworking as Bill Belichick or something. The no days off chant that Bob Kraft tried to get started after one of their Super Bowl victories was one of the more awkward.
No days at a parade.
At a parade that happens during business hours, mind you. Asking a bunch of people who just took a day off to go watch your team to start chanting no days off. Yeah. Like they had really, really bad and stupid slogans for like a long time.
Yeah.
So it was... I think that the Casario is probably kind of like, okay, great. Okay, people like the uniforms. Awesome.
Yeah.
It sickens me. It sickens me.
Well, yeah, he said, you know, I'm more concerned with how they play in the uniforms. Hey, here's the thing. They're going to be releasing them on social media as well on their terms.
Yeah.
You know, like this is not a, you know, dude next door model wearing a football uniform and some warehouse worker pulling one out of a box with, you know, styrofoam and bubble wrap flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a pre-made video. The uniforms are all going to be on actual players, I'm assuming. They're unveiling it. For those who don't know, I confirm 10 a.m. tomorrow, they're dropping it on their social media platforms. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, YouTube, I'm guessing there will be a video put up there. All the Texans platforms, 10 a.m. tomorrow, this is going to drop. The McNairs are going to be in studio with John Lopez and Landry Locker at 11 o'clock tomorrow, so that'll be fun. But I think that's the thing to me, Seth. I think the reaction is going to be far more positive tomorrow than it's been to either of the leaks so far because this is going to be a production that the Texans fully control.
Yeah,
you know, and it's going to look really good. I think it's going to look really, really good.
It'll be cool.
Yep.
It'll be the they nail all that part of its stuff when it comes to the actual presentation and everything.
Yep.
They've come light years ahead of where they were. And kind of being like a modern professional sports organization.
Very much. By the way, you still have 20 minutes left to vote in the poll. John Lopez returning from vacation here. I'm going to get a reaction from John. Welcome back, my friend.
I'm damn glad to be back.
Tan and rested and
I'm all renewed.
Caught
revived.
A lot of fish.
Caught a lot of fish, did a lot of hiking, went into the jungle, went into the rainforest.
So you saw that sloth out in nature. That wasn't like it.
No. That was out. Yeah, that was out in nature.
Okay.
Same thing with that kinkajou, that monkey thing that came to
visit. Where were you?
Costa Rica.
Oh.
okay.
I was in
okay.
Costa Rica, went up to...
How was it?
I mean, it's everything that I love and she loves. I mean, it was fishing like crazy offshore, went into the jungle, went above the rainforest, the canopy.
Oh, that's
saw
fun.
Saw some monkeys, saw some all kinds of birds.
Okay.
It was my wheelhouse.
I may need to get some vacation advice from you.
It was my wheelhouse vacation.
Russell Wilson wore a mitt while throwing out a ceremonial first pitch yesterday.
I did see this.
Yeah, I put up a poll. 19 minutes left if you haven't voted. The two choices, is this acceptable? Is this acceptable that he's wearing a mitt? Two choices, sure, why not? Or, nope, total dork. Which would you vote?
I don't think it's as bad as
neither does everybody else.
I really don't. Yeah, like sometimes it's almost like you pop your glove so you can throw a better ball. You know, it's just kind of the mechanics of throwing a baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Like how many times when you're playing catch as a kid or as an adult, you just like, you know, you pop it, let's go,
right.
Let's throw
it's
it.
It's out of habit. Yeah.
I think it was one of those things where for Sean, it was because it was Russell Wilson himself. I went through various other athletes, if they had done that, I think – I think Sean would have looked at it like, Gronk's just being Gronk, you know.
Or if CJ did it, I'd have been like, look how prepared this kid is.
Yeah, look at it.
I'm the same way. Like Russell Wilson could cure cancer, and I'm like, okay, sure, take another bow. Keep taking bow.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Honestly, if Brock Osweiler had shown up and thrown with the exact same throwing motion, throwing a baseball that CJ Stroud did, Sean, you would have lost it.
No, I would have killed him. I would have killed
CJ. CJ didn't look comfortable throwing a baseball. He was throwing it like a football, you know, which I was cool. I didn't need him out there tearing his UCL, you know, on a ceremonial pitch.
Yeah.
Use the throwing motion you're comfortable with.
Yeah, no, it's and it was accurate, which is the most important thing, as was Russ's, you know, credit. I think he got it over home plate.
Russ. Who cares?
Yeah. Now, Landry's here. I got to ask Landry, where do you come out on the Seattle coach ripping all the pictures off the wall, Landry?
I mean, it's that hard-o stuff.
Yeah,
it's just that typical signage and all that type of stuff, the bit coaching. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. More times than not, it's just kind of an eye roll.
Okay, good. I just wanted you to say hard-o, that's all.
Guys, day by day.
What's that?
Day by day, guys. I want you to look up at your locker. I want you to see. I want you to see what the focus is. Rip down all the pictures of the past. We're focused on the present.
Forward. We're moving forward.
Yeah.
I like that. Just the thought of him walking through the locker room, like with an assistant behind him with a notepad, and he's looking up at Richard Sherman. Like, tear that bum down. Looking up at Earl Thomas. Like, get these clowns out of here.
Not even acknowledging who Pete Carroll is. Who's that old man up there holding the trophy?
That stupid old man. Who's this Marshawn Lynch? Couldn't even run it in on the goal line. What a clown.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right. What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.